Hey, Jim, I was out in the garage the other day, and I'm cleaning up, and I run into the bag I keep my smoker fuel in all year. What do you use in your smoker?
I'm going to say this, and I'll probably get in trouble. I use cedar shavings. It's animal bedding that I get at the farm supply store. I don't know if I should be using that or not. You know, it's aromatic, but it's convenient. I like it all right, and I use it.
Hello, I'm Kim Flatham.
And I'm Jim, too.
You are listening to Honeybee Obscura, brought to you by Growing Planet Media, the folks behind Beekeeping Today podcast. Each week on Honeybee Obscura, hosts Kim Flodden and Jim Too explore the complexities, the beauty, the fun, and the challenges of managing honeybees in today's world in an engaging and informative discussion meant for all beekeepers, long-timers, and those just starting their journey with bees. So sit back and enjoy the next several minutes as Kim and Jim explore all things honeybees.
Today, we're going to talk about smokers and smoker fuel and everything in between. I moved here 34 years ago to where I'm sitting right now, and I planted 4 long needle pines to grow my own smoker fuel. And I have more than you can imagine. When the season's over, I go out there with a rake and I fill up 3 or 4 garbage bags full of discarded pine needles and I give them to everybody I know.
Well, you're just a friendly guy giving away smoker fuel. That's a common thing to use throughout the southeastern U.S. too. I can't speak for other areas, but those pine needles are there. They burn readily. They kind of have a folksy, pleasant outdoorsy odor. Get back to you on that in a bit here, but they easy to light. You know, just stick a match to them. Poof, you got a fire going.
Yep.
So it's an easy thing to use.
There are people who will chastise me all day long for using them, though, because of the creosote buildup you get in the nozzle. And by the end of the season, sometimes that nozzle will be closed if you don't take time to clean it.
It is amazing how that creosote will build up. You know, there's one other thing, too. I wrote an article for Bee Magazine several years ago, and I had an authoritative reader write in and tell me that even though I'd been using pine needles all my life when I was in the southeast in Alabama, they had a high rosin content, and it was actually, you know, a little bit like burning some kind of pine turpentine product, and that it was not the best stuff to be breathing the fumes. And he said that there's almost nothing that's good to breathe, but if you got to breathe something, he authoritatively said that it wheat chaff or wheat straw was the most benign. So, I mean, I don't get it. I don't have it. I don't know where to go buy a bale of wheat straw or whatever. But I suppose for the sake of if you got to breathe smoke, breathe something that's going to kill you the slowest. And I suppose that without any science and without any documentation that I'm suggesting that one reader who had put a lot of time into it said that wheat straw was the best way to go. Yeah. That's why I'm reluctant. You know, every time I fire off those wood shavings, they're hard to light. But once you get that coal bed going in the bottom of the smoker, that thing will sit there and smolder for 2 hours. And it's easy to start back up. It's easy to keep going. But I don't want to take a deep drag off of the smoke that comes out of that smoker. How long do you want your smoker to keep going?
I guess my definition of a successfully lit smoker is you get it going, you start it with something that's more flammable than pine needles, and I always use newspaper just because it's easy.
Yep.
You get this pine needles going, and then puff, puff, more pine needles, puff, puff, more pine needles, and then I'm packing them in with my fist just as hard as I can get them in there, puffing all the time.
Yep.
I fill it up about half full. I don't have the biggest smoker in the world, but it's not those little tiny ones either. And then when I puff it and I get 3 good puffs of smoke coming out and I set it down, if it doesn't stay lit for a half an hour, I didn't do it right.
Is that when you drop kick that smoker? Because, you know, a lot of these smokers are damaged and beaten up, and I know why. Because when you need it the most, it's out. So that's when you throw that thing as far as you can just to get rid of it. You know, they're really, even though they personify the very essence of beekeeping, they're really kind of an obnoxious piece of equipment. I just offended some smoker manufacturing company somewhere.
Yeah.
But those things, no one's ever come up with anything any better. I had a chance to go to Africa years ago, and the Peace Corps people, using what you've got where you are, they used a can. You know how if you're camping out, you would cut a can and just peel the lid back and leave it attached? They would punch holes in that can and then build a fire in that small can and attach a wire to that folded back lid. And then they'd walk around and just be kind of waving that smoker in the air. And these were, you know, they were hot African bees, so you need to have on some kind of protective gear. But that smoke concept has always been a part of beekeeping. It goes back from the first days of people trying to manipulate and work bees in some way.
Well, you know, maybe all, but certainly many commercial beekeepers in the States here use burlap. And one of the winter chores is to cut burlap strips so they can be rolled up and they'll be the same diameter as the inside of your smoker, and you'll have a fuzzy edge on the bottom. So you light the bottom, put it in, and it'll still be going when you get home for supper that night, or it should be. That's always the trick for people who do this for a living. And I've never found burlap to be offensive. Pine needles cling to your bee suit, cling to your shirt, cling to your hands. You know, I can smell pine needles tomorrow night when I work bees today. But burlap seems not to do that very much. And I don't know about wood chips. What else do people use besides wood chips and pine needles and burlap?
A lot of people like punk wood, rotted, decaying wood. People use sumac pods. And one thing I refused to use was dried cow dung. So the one thing that I have tried to use that did not work was flame retardant clothing. I bought a box of rags that I was going to use for smoker fuel, and they wouldn't work. They wouldn't burn. And it took a while to figure out that this had originally been children's flame retardant clothing. And even as a rag, that flame retardant concept hung on. You know, when you were talking, I realized, I've never thought to put this into an actual couple of sentences. It's going to be not exciting, but it's interesting to me. In Alabama, I use pine straw. In Maryland, we did the roll burlap. And in Ohio, I use wood shavings. So I wonder if smoker fuels are regional kind of things. The people burn what's readily available wherever they are. And from a bee standpoint, and they're smokers. I have no earthly idea.
Got a lot of cow dung around your house?
No.
Yeah,
I don't.
Me either. I'd have to work some to find some of that. And wood chips, I mean, that's all I'd use them for. So I haven't ever thought about that. But your pine straw, you're right, down south. And even here, like I said, I planted these trees, so I've got all that I need. And you mentioned punk wood. I suppose, well, I'm sitting here looking, and I can see the woods on the other side of my neighbor's house here. There's probably some punk wood down there, but I'd have to go on somebody else's property and wander around and see if I could find some and hope that they weren't objecting to my being on their property.
That's true. Again, as you're talking about this, I'm realizing that I bet you most beekeepers use what they have access to.
Yeah.
So if I have a woodlot and I can go out and find this rotted wood and collect it like you're collecting pine needles, then I'll do that. If I have access to pines, I will collect needles. The thing that got me started burning wood shavings, Kim, was my wood shop. I had the planer shavings, and I tried to use those for a while as mulch. It didn't look right. My wife didn't really want to go that way, and I didn't care for it either. So then you're left with these planer shavings, and I ended up using them as smoker fuel. And then when I didn't have enough planter shavings, I ended up buying shavings. So that's why I got started in that. Overall, though, the main thing I think we want that smoker to do is just to turn the bees around. Unless I've missed something recently, do we know yet why smoke actually works? what it's doing that makes the bees engorge and turn around? And is it just masking their pheromonal communication system? I don't know that anyone, after all this time, has really conclusively said, this is what smoke does, this is how it works.
Yeah, the easy way, probably the right way, is that when you put smoke into a colony, the response to that inside their house is that my house is on fire and I'm going to have to leave. I'm going to take as much food with me as I can, because when I get out of here, we're back to scratch for having enough to eat for the next couple of weeks. That sounds really good, and it's probably not right, but it sounds really good, and I'm going to stick with it.
It's something to go on the blank, isn't it, Kim? That's much better than saying, I don't know how this works. If my house were on fire, I'd want to take my photo albums and whatever. I don't even want to talk about the house being on fire. That's bad. But I you're right. I don't know what goes in that blank, but that's interesting that it is. When those bees are looking at you and you look down between those top bars and all you see are the little bee faces looking at you, they're ready. They're waiting to see just how stupid you're going to be and how far you're going to push this. And at that moment, I would recommend to anybody who's new at this, just enough smoke to make them go find something else to do. Turn them around. How long do you find the smoke lasts after you smoke the bees? How much time do you have of a protected window there?
I'm glad you asked that, because there's two ways to be looking at how you apply smoke to a colony, from my opinion. One of them is, you just mentioned it, when you've been working, you put a little smoke in, you've been working, and they all went down, and now they're starting to come back up, and they're looking at you from between the frames. And if you're good and you're smart and you're thinking about it, you get with the wind at your back and you waft half a puff across the top of the frames, and that will put them back down without getting a lot of smoke in the hive. And it lasts almost as long, but it isn't nearly as irritable to you or them. And the wind is blowing it away from you, so you're not breathing it. The other thing is I'm doing a lot of work here. I got to get home. I'm going to give you as much smoke as my smoker will put out here. So I'm driving you almost to the front door down on the bottom board, so I can get done what I need to get done. So there's two ways to look at this. I like the first way. I'm, you know, gentle and easy, but sometimes, you know, Mother Nature says, okay, you either control the situation or you're going to get your butt stung and it's time to move.
Yeah, there's more than one of me here, Kim. And one of me says, no, I'm going to be tender and kind. It's a puff here, a puff there. But, you know, we've talked about robbing in other episodes. And if you've got robin running wild, it's a good time to hammer down on that smoker, boy, because you got to stop this. They're going to be dead anyway, so it's not just the smoke that's going to kill them. So that's one of the times that comes to mind when I would really recommend going flat out, full smoke.
Yeah.
But otherwise, try to be gentle with them. That way you don't run the queen around. You don't leave the odor in there. I don't know what the ultimate effect of smoke is on the bees.
Well, it can be if you're doing, like I was saying before, you're pushing down clouds between frames all the way to the bottom board. You can get honey that tastes like smoke.
Right.
If you got open cells, and it'll absorb some of that smoke smell, and then it'll cap it over, and you come home. You know, you harvest some, you put it on your toast in the morning. So I'm eating a toasted marshmallow.
Pine straw. I mean, it's got that outdoor campfire taste. Isn't that desirable?
Yeah, no. Cow dung.
That was you, I hope, who said that. I'm afraid I did it, but I hope it was you who said it. You know, we don't have time, but there's all kind of specialty smoke. When you take off comb honey, you don't want to use smoke, because if you make the bees go engorge, maybe we'll talk about things some other time, the specialty uses when you would not want to use smoke because of what it would do. But,
well, let's couple this with, are there any alternatives? And there are.
Yep.
So we'll get to that next time. Or sometime.
Or sometime. That's a good way to leave it. We'll get to that sometime.
All right.
All right.
Well, take it easy. Stay safe.
As always, enjoy talking to you. We'll do it again. All the best, friend. All the best. Bye.